In Isaiah chapter 45, picking up, please, in verse 5. I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. That, verse 6, purpose, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else, no other God. The whole world must know, even though they refuse or don't know. Thus, in the light of that, verse 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens. All their host have I commanded. I've commanded them. Verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is none else. And verse 19. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right, and I expect people to pay attention when I speak. And I do so since I created it all, and I put you, verse 12, I created you. I put you on earth for the earth to be inhabited, that it would be your home, your earthly home, and that you would live on earth and you would honor me. I'm the only God. I'm the only God there is. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, the prophets proclaim and sing out clearly, the whole world needs to pay attention to God. Over in chapter 45, verse 20. In verse chapter 45, in verse 22. I'll read verse 21 for a little better context. Tell me and bring them near, this is the whole world. Let them take counsel together who hath declared this from ancient time, who hath told it from that time. Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Therefore, verse 22, the command, look ye, turn, it means to turn in a given direction from a situation, from a circumstance, from whatever. Turn to God, look to God. Turn unto me and be saved, that's a command, be saved. Look to God, turn to God and be saved. That's God's command to be saved. Who are you talking to, God? All the ends of the earth. Why is that, God? Because I'm the only God there is, and there is none else, and I made it all. So that's why everyone, everywhere, I command you to be saved. I'm sending my son to die. I want you all to know me and honor me correctly and rightly. And verse 23, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Every human being forever is going to honor me. I suggest to you to look and turn to me. I command you to look and be saved. God is talking to the world by way and through Israel and by way of Isaiah. Now, having said that, narrow it down to Israel. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And in Isaiah chapter 40, keeping, if you would, in Israel, remember the subject matter is Israel in exile. You're going to be in exile. And I want you to be encouraged when everything is missing that you think should be there. When it's all missing in your life. I want you to be comforted, encourage you. Take a deep breath and refresh yourself. Comfort thee, my people, saith your God. Verse 1. Now, slide over to verse 9. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Pay attention to your God. Pay attention. Behold. Take comfort in the light of God. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ends of the earth. And by the way, at least Israel, take comfort in the process of the outworking of that when the whole world will do it, when I come. Take comfort, take heed, and behold your God. Behold your God. Now, having said that, over, if you would, to Proverbs. And by the way, just so you know where we're going, I wish I knew. We're looking at the proem, which means before, the word before, plus the word song, before the song, proem. It means the preface, that which precedes what you're going to do. God has given a golden preface, proem. In John, Gospel of John, verses 1, 2, and 3, among others, he has said something wonderful, wonderful. We just read, I'm the only God, I'm the only Savior. And, John is going to put in front, which fills and completes all that God has done back here in Isaiah, in the days of the prophets, in the days of the apostles. John puts something in front of us that puts this thing together for us. The whole world needs to be saved. That's right. God is the only God and the only Savior. That's correct. Now, with that in mind, over if you would to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. And in Proverbs chapter 9, picking up, if I can, in verse 6. Proverbs 9, 6. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Make sure you understand. You don't get a prize for being dumb, ignorant, or say, it doesn't matter to me, I don't feel like that. Either something's true or it isn't true. And if it isn't true, I better find out what is true. And that's religiously and philosophically and every other way. What is true? Truth is true. You don't make something true. It either is true or it isn't. That's all. It's either right or wrong. And you get your act lined up with it. We don't make it right, and we can make something wrong or do wrong. Now, Proverbs chapter 9, picking up verse 9. We want to have understanding. Verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. He will increase. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning, the first, the prime, the principle. So that's something that's the starting point. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge, the perception, the insight, to have insight. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. So here we are, the word holy. It is an adjective in the plural. And plural makes it intense. The Holy One, literally, the Holy, the All, A-L-L, the All Holy One. I'll read it now. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One, the All Holy One, is understanding. God help us. holy, 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 fresh, the Holy One. What do you mean? The fear of the Lord, that's right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And a knowledge of the Holy One is certainly understanding. Now, the Holy One. Wow. To know the Holy One. There's only one God and only one Savior. To know the Holy One. Okay. Over, if you would, Proverbs. Over to chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And in Proverbs chapter 30, you would catch the thought, if you would, and the words of Agur, and that is the name, there's four names there actually, and we know not a lot about him except Jewish tradition, in the Jewish tradition, in the Haggadah, which is the literature, Jewish literature that isn't legal. The legal literature is one thing. The Haggadah is the non-legal, non-law. And in the literature, they make it clear, the rabbinical source, would say that all four names refer to King Solomon. And that is possible, that Solomon is writing the Song of Solomon, the Proverbs of Solomon. Now, but irregardless of who isn't identified further than that, the words of Agur, and thus down to verse 2. What does he say? What does he say? Surely I am brutish. Stupid is the word. I am more stupid than anybody, and have not the understanding of a man. He's very humble. He's humbling himself. He's coming down and said, listen, when it comes down to if man thinketh he know anything, 1 Corinthians, he knoweth nothing at all. I got it. Here, what are you saying? You're going to say something wonderful. That's right. But I want you to know from my end of it, in the light of what I'm going to tell you, I know nothing at all. I am extremely humbled, wonderfully humbled. I don't know. But thus, verse 3, I neither learned wisdom nor have knowledge of the Holy, and there's your adjective plural, the Holy One, the most all-holy one. I have no knowledge of the all-holy one. In the light of God being magnificently, wonderfully, infinitely, my ways and my thoughts are what? Higher than the heavens. God, we're finite and you're God. Wonderful. And thus we don't know, God, you are, unless you help us, how are we ever going to understand an infinite, limitless God, which we shared in our studies recently here, that before anything was, God is. God always is God. When there's nothing and no one, there's God. There isn't even space, because there is no space. It's just God. And that's awful hard for our little finite minds to come to grips with. That's right. I have learned nothing. And I know, oh, the most holy one, the all-holy one, oh, to know him. To know him is to have understanding, is to be understanding that you know him. Now, thus in verse 4, there are 4 or 5 or 6, depending on how you look at it, 6 rhetorical questions. There are 6 of them right in a row, or 5 of them anyway, right in a row. And they're all answered. They aren't a question, you have to come up with an answer. The answer is given. They're rhetorical. Thus, what are you going to say, sir, that you humbled yourself and you know, in the light of the most holy one, God Almighty, God, you are magnificently infinite and I am finite. I don't know, but I do know this. We read it in Isaiah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Verse 4, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who has? God, You, the Creator, have. Remember John 3 and 13 and thereabouts. Where did he come from? He came from above and he came down. He came down in order to go up. That's what he did. Who, God? Who comes down to us and goes up? Verse 4. Second question. Who hath gathered the winds in his fist? God, you have. You have. Who holds all the winds? Wind moving all over the place. The upper current, the jet stream and all of it. Wow. God, who holds the winds in his hand, his fist? God, you do. You, the ruler, the creator. That's right. The third question. Who hath bound the waters in a garment? And think of all the waters of the ocean, 70% or so of the earth, all water, and put it in a little garment. Just think of taking your shirt off and putting all the oceans in them. Wow. God, only you can do that. You are the God who did that. And fourth question, who hath established all the ends of the earth? God, you have. You put it all together. You created it. You made it. You made it to be inhabited. That's right. Thus, God, with these four questions, then the next question. What is his name? And you can keep going, put a question mark there, or keep going. What is his name, and what is his son's name? Do you know his name? That's the question. I'm humbled. God, you are magnificent. No one like you, that's right. Now, I have a question for you. After all of that, it isn't a riddle, it's a question. Do you know his name? Do you know his son's name? That's the question. Interesting question, isn't it? Do you know his son's name? And, the end of the verse, if thou canst tell, if you can tell. And the word is to know, and it can be, it means to surely. Surely you know, don't you? You can tell, can't you? Don't you know his name? Do you know his son's name? Can't you tell? No. They all look. No. Ah, Solomon. If it is Solomon, and it could be. It is Solomon, no question, in that sense. It's Solomon's thinking. Hey, listen. God. Solomon said, listen. God's a wonderful person. I sort of goofed it all up. I goofed it all up with God. I could have had God like my father David. But I didn't do that. But I want you to know, he's something else. Do you know his name? Do you know his son's name? Sure do you know. Don't you know him? No. Ah. Over, if you would, Psalm 2. Psalm 2. In Psalm 2, are you knowing or because you're knowing? Ah. God, how are you going to help us? Well, in Psalm 2, remember, you're looking at the end of the tribulation. The Lord comes and all the nations of the earth are judged. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. All right? Isaiah 45:22. Now, Psalm 2, and going, verse 1. Why do the heathen nations raise and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Anointed, the anointed is the word Christ, Messiah, anointed. Anointed Christ, Messiah. Thus, verse 7, going down to verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, surely thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Do you know his name? Do you know his son's name? Do you know his son's name? Ah. Thus, verse 7. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Well, when, God, are you going to say that so clearly? Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, picking up, please. May I go directly in the light of the context, verse 4. I'll read verse 3 even. I've got to have verse 3. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, flesh and blood, and declared, ordained to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. God, when did you announce so clearly, behold my Son in power? Remember the Lord Jesus said, the only sign I will give you Jews or anybody is the sign of the prophet Jonah, as he was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. In the whale's belly, so shall the Lord Jesus be in the heart of the earth. The only sign I'm going to give anybody is the resurrection. Behold my Son, my beloved Son. See him. Do you know whose son he is? Do you know his son's name, I should say? Wow. By way of the resurrection, God, you're going to say something most clearly. And Acts will tell us the Lord God has made him both Lord and Christ to the glory of God. In his perfect humanity, raises him up. Wow. Now, with that little bit of background, go with me, please, over to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Now, John is writing, the Gospel of John, about 65 years after the death of Christ and his resurrection. So you're going, 65 years later. He's the last living apostle of the 12. He's the last living. What is his assignment to the world? He doesn't write like the three. That's why it's called the fourth gospel. There are three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're back here. This is the fourth one, separate and different than all of them. Why? Because, John, what is your assignment? It isn't about the events and life leading up to the crucifixion of Christ. No. No, it's about who he is. And all of the 21 chapters of John are about what? His magnificent person. And that's why the words and works over and over again, he's God. God doing the words, saying the words, doing the works. It's God. And the whole world needs to hear it. Hear it. We aren't talking about before the cross. We're talking years after the cross. What do we need to know? Here we are in the setting. We need to know John 1, 1, verse 1. Verse 1, please. In the beginning was the Word. God, this is the proem, the golden, the words, I think it was Plato or somebody, I remember reading, Plato or someone said, it all should be gold. I thought, you know, back in the days when they were dealing with God long before that. Thus, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Three statements are made. Three precise, concise, exact, clear statements. No messing around, no fooling around. It's gold, gold. You couldn't say it clearer, better, faster. What do we need to know, John? John, what is your purpose in being a pen to write the Word of God, the words of God? In the beginning was the Word, in the beginning. That's right. And it affirms his wonderful deity in the beginning, the eternal existence. In the beginning was the Word. The word was is in the tense, imperfect tense, the continuous, timeless, forever God. In the beginning, before anything, you were. We already studied that. Wow, that's right. And then, God, you're always existent. That's right. You're eternally, wonderfully in existence. That's correct. Secondly, in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and secondly, the Word was with God. The Word was with God. The Word was with. Little word, preposition. Just think if I can try to illustrate it for you. Here is the word, the preposition, with. And it's coming over into this here, with. And it's facing, it's going towards the object, my hand, going towards the object. It's facing the object. It's in front of the object. It's before the object, coming at the object, coming towards the object, face to face. That's the word. And thus it is used, and without taking time to do that. Thus, the second statement in verse 1, the Word was with God. The Word faced God. Thus, it's God over here, and the Word's over here, and the Word faced God. The Word was pre-existent, always forever, and the Word was face to face with God, separate from, distinct from God. And, thirdly, and the Word was God. The Word was, and the Word was God. God was the Word. Affirming deity. There's no question. It affirms the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was God. Now remember that Jehovah's Witness, we had one come by just a week ago or so, and haven't seen him for years. And they came by the house there, a couple of ladies, and was going to give me something. And I told them, I guess what they were. And I said, listen, I want you to know that I have received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I can't be more saved now or tomorrow than I am. I'm thoroughly, wonderfully safe, saved, and headed into God's grace, for God's grace, in God's grace, and I'm trusting Him. The Lord, and I knew where they were, so I didn't have time. So I said, the Lord Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And I said, oh no, did you ever read? I said, yeah. Now, I'm going to help you just in case. Here in verse 1, the Word was God, was God. There is no the. It's a noun states something. It states the nature, the quality of a person, or it could be indefinite. But, here's the noun. Now, a noun is a noun. Thus, the Word God, the Word was God, the Word was God. God was the Word. That's a clear, simple statement. God, the Word was God. The Word who's face to face with God is God. Pre-existent, forever. Forever God. Forever. That's right. Forever God. Wow. And thus, forever God. And thus, if you would, what do we know about this person, God? Well, in verse 3. All things were made by him. Remember the word was in verse 1, that which is in the timeless, continuous past. Verses in verse 2, the same was in the verse 3, I should say. All things were made by him, were brought into existence. So now we're talking from pre-existence to coming into existence, so your verb changes, so you'll catch the flavor of it. Verse 3, all things were made, came into existence. He created them. All things were made by him, were brought into existence. And without him was not anything made, brought into existence, that was made, brought into existence. Everything that's existent, animal, bird, beast, heaven, stars, planets, universe, angels, there's nothing that he didn't create. He's God, absolutely God.
And you're going to spend the next 21 chapters reminding you, he's God in a most magnificent way. God. That's right. And all the earth look to him and be saved. He's the only one. That's right. Don't have to worry about Zeus. Don't have to worry about Pluto. You don't have to worry about Buddha. You don't have to worry about Confucius. You don't have to worry about the Book of Mormon, the Book of Quran. You don't have to worry about them. There's only one God. There aren't gods. And thus the Jehovah's Witnesses, I should say, back there, in verse 1, going back there, and the word was, they would say, a God, since there's no the. A God. Let's say, gods. That's what they mean. Jesus was one of the gods, you see. And if you were really excited and you wanted to get really go off in your brain, mind, you could become a Mormon. You couldn't ever get to the high. It'd be like the Jehovah Witnesses. The Jehovah Witnesses come and you ask them if you could be one of the 144,000. Ask them. If you could be one of the 144,000. I said, oh, no, 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 you can't be. I don't want to be one then. I don't want to, because see the, anyway. Jehovah's Witnesses, 144,000, I'm losing you. Anyway, so here we are. And the Mormons would say, I remember reading, it was a very exciting thing, that if you go through the steps and arrive in the status, you would be privileged to have your own planet, and a whole lot of girls on your own planet, and you could be as a god, you see, on your own planet. Now, that's rather exciting, isn't it? Well, maybe it isn't exciting. To be your own, have your own planet, etc. What I'm trying to tell you is, that's what they'd say. And that's incentive. God, you're the only god. There is no the, and there is no need for a the of indefinite gods. It isn't talking about. It's very clear. God, the word God is God. The word is God, and God is God. Looks to the word who is God. Also, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, interesting. Now, like we did in the other day, in the understanding of the word, in the beginning, the word. There is no explanation. John, you'd think, well, do people know what the word is? Do you gonna help us explain that? No. It is thoroughly understood. The Roman world, the Greek world knew what? The controlling power. Logos, the word. How do they think about it? The creator, the power that controls it all. When it comes to Israel, it is the word. By the word of God, the heavens were made and created. God made them all. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God. So there's no question to the Gentile world then, and the Jewish world. The word, the power, the controlling one who puts it all, the Holy One. To have understanding of him, the only God and the only Savior. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over in your Bible to Matthew chapter 60. John is presenting the wonderful truth of the resurrected Christ, who is God. The only sign he would give him is power of his resurrection. Do you know the name? Do you know his name? Do you know his son's name? Ah, yeah. John, are you going to help us with that question? Absolutely. You need to know his son's name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, in Matthew chapter 16... Picking up, please. A little bit of the context, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who am I? Do you know who I am? Verse 14. They said, Some are saying, that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But by the way, whom do you say that I am? You see, just like in Proverbs 4. Tell me, do you know? Do you know who he is? Who is he to you? Thus, verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed, happy art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonas. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Don't you know, you don't know that yet. But my Father has helped you say something you don't even understand yet. Do you know who I am? Oh, no, I do, but I don't, said Peter. I do, but I don't. Wow. All right. Now, over if you would, Jeremiah, Matthew chapter 17. God, are you going to keep helping the disciples and helping us? Chapter 17 and verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up unto a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. And then answered Peter. Peter's in it again. Peter said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here in the top of this mountain. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, booths. We're going to camp out here. Let's stay up here. One for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias or Elijah. While he yet spake, Peter's mumbling out what he thinks we should do. While he yet spake, behold, the bright cloud overshadowed them and blocked out the whole Moses, Elijah. They're all gone. Boom, just brightness overshadowed them. And behold, the voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is my Son. Do you know his name? Do you know his son's name? This is my son. This is my son. Now, having said that, over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. John, you're going to write and help us some more. John chapter 1, and may I pick up, please, in verse 1. John 1, 1 John 1, 1, just after Peter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. We have handled the word who was God, God in the flesh. We handled him. I laid on his breast when we were eating. Remember how they lay down at angles. Verse 2, for the life was manifested, the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. What for? What are you telling us all this for, John? That we may have fellowship, not friendship, fellowship. Fellowship includes God. To have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, the only God, the only Savior. Do you know his name? Do you know his Son's name? We are in fellowship with him, you see. John, you're going to spell it out in your proem, the magnificent golden statement. God is wonderfully God, and he's risen and given us a means, a way to truly, truly be saved in God's wonderful grace. Over, if you would please, to first Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Let's do it another way, all kinds of ways. In Revelation chapter 1, in verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I want you to know that I'm the beginning. I am the way to communicate. How do we communicate? How do you communicate thought? By words, by words. You can think here, but you have to be able to put your thought into words for the thought to be understood or presented, don't you? It has to have some form. God, how do you present you whose ways and thoughts are what? Higher than the heavens. God, how are we gonna get it? You're going to present your word, your word. You're going to bring yourself to the forefront like our words bring our thoughts out. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to bring God, whose ways and thoughts are higher than the heavens, out for us so we can see them and hear them and understand them. As you read in Proverbs 9:10, knowledge of the Holy One, the Most Holy One, is understanding. God, do you know? I do. I do. Are you going to honor me and my son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. I am the Alpha, verse 8, and Omega, the beginning and last letters of the Greek language. I am not only the language, and by the way, what would you do if using English? Remember now, if using English in the 26 letters of the English language. 24 in Greek, 22 in Hebrew, 22 in Aramaic. I know that's important to you, and you'll take that home and put it on your calendar. Put it up on the wall. The 26 letters. What would you do if I take from you the alphabet? Not only on a piece of paper, what would you write if you have the alphabet missing? How would you form a word if I eliminate the, how would you say cat, C-A-T, if I eliminate C-A-T? How would you say it? You can't. You're stuck. God, your ways are higher than the heavens and your thoughts. Who could understand them? None. But God, in your kindness, would you give expression to them? And God sent his Son, the Word become flesh. What do you mean the Word? God, the Word is God. God becomes flesh. God says something to us in the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the alphabet. And by the way, I'm the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I'm the ending. I started it, and I'm going to finish it. How's that? I started your life, and I want you to finish it gloriously. I have made provision for you to finish your earthly life gloriously. Don't louse it. Now, and thus, and you know, what is the assurance, God? Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. Thus saith the Lord. Who's saying this? I am which is, which was, I always was, I always was, which is to come, I always am. Who's telling us Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end? God is. God, who always is. Always was, always shall be. So God, should we listen to you? You're the only one. There's no other book, no other God, no other book in all the world. that says, thus saith the Lord, and I share that with you 100 times. It's a wonderful thing. If you want to know God, open the Bible and read. It's the only one that speaks about God. So you don't have to get confused. Which book should I read? Rosicrucian, Science of Mind? No. God, you've given us your word. God, you've given us your word. You are the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. Thus, God. Would you go with me, please, over to Matthew? Matthew chapter 11. The invisible thoughts of God become real, become visible for us, so that we can know him with understanding. Matthew chapter 11. You are familiar as the cities have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. When you come to verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor, whosoever you are, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn. Get your learning from me. You want to understand? The fear of me, the fear of who I am. I'm the most holy one. Honor God, honor me, honor who I am, the only God, the only Savior. You know my name, the Lord God Almighty. You know my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, my beloved Son. I sent him to help you understand. You couldn't possibly understand if I didn't send my Son. And you all know that, because if I right now put a thing and eliminate it, without that Bible, without God's wonderful work, you and I are zero. We can only look up at the sun and the sky, and we can go no further. And we can play all the religious games we want up to our eyeballs. And it won't do us a bit of good, because we can't know God apart from his Son. And that's what the world doesn't want to hear that. Well, there must be other ways. There is no other way. God's way is the only way. And it cost God his Son to make that possible. Thus, in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and get your learning of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want you to learn of me. Do you know who I am? Understand my Son. Understand my name and my Son's name. I want you to understand it. And I want you to go, like it would say in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. Command. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the word author, beginning, the originator, the one who starts it. Looking unto the author. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Look unto me. Learn of me. Looking unto the author, the beginner and the finisher, the one who completes, the one who perfects, the one who makes it all come out in the right ending. He starts it and it ends. Look unto him who endured the cross, despising the shame, and is what? Set down at the right hand of God. Look to me. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. You see? They will do that, you know. They aren't all going to be saved. But every knee in heaven, on earth, and below is going to give acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. And they are going to know the God who they have rejected. And you and I have a privilege of knowing him, honoring him. Marvelous God. Just couldn't say it clearer to us. Well, if you just have a little flexibility, a little tolerance, there isn't any. Isn't that good? How about if I said you can have eternal life, but it has flexibility, eternal life. You could get disease. You could get sick. You could get hit by a car. Would you want that kind of... Don't you want eternal life that's fixed? Fixed.
permanent, unchangeable.
God, that's what I want. I'm the only way. I'm the only way to the truth and the life. You cannot get to the Father except by me. I'm the only way. God, I don't have. When I start getting my P's and Q's together, and I start thinking, it's not being a fool. I don't want to play with life, play games with words and philosophies and work and home and school and playing kids and up and down to disappointment, depression. I don't want to do that, God. I don't want to do that. I want to think right. And God, in your grace, you give us the privilege to open your word and to share it together so that we aren't in the dark and we aren't stupid and we aren't sitting there and playing a religious game. We're straight on, straight on. And all of history and all of reality and all of science confirms what you're doing. Don't let it deceive you. Our God and Father, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and we look to you to deal with our heads and hearts, God. Thank you very much. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convict, convince them that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit of God, thank you. For the little ones, God, for each one. To know you, the Creator, while they're young, that when they're old, they'll be able to honor you the better and know you the more. So, God, for us, for each one of us, God, Spirit of God, help us. Thank you for your kindness and grace. And, God, thank you. Spirit of God, do what I can't. I'll never be able to do it, God, in 1,000 years. God, what you do. So, do it on our behalf for your name's sake. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Perhaps we could sing, please, a stanza of 548. 548.